I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
Hello and welcome to this Wednesday edition of KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch and Jordan Davis here in the studio with you, and we have our special guest for today, Josh Jorgensen, who is here for the Look at the Lions segment today. In today's segment, we're going to talk a lot about tailgating for the Lions and some new programs that Josh is introducing for us for the first time. Then we're going to move on in segment two to talk about the Cowboys and them actually running the ball. And we'll finish off the show with some college talk, see if Mac Brown's going to stick around with the Longhorns next year, and the locker room picks for the college games of the week. We'll talk about that last to end up the show. Anyway, first, Josh, we've talked a lot about the coaching staff and the other side of hiring all these different people to make the program successful, but we haven't talked about the non-game side, the tailgate.
Sure.
Which is, you know, just as important to any fan. So first, tell us, where does this tailgate take place?
Well, tailgate takes place right between, essentially, the football stadium and the field house. Student tailgates right there in that lot. You know, student services does a great job of setting up bands, getting a lot of entertainment out there for the students, and they've got their lot set up. But then in the grass area towards the post office, we can call it, is a lot of area that we tailgate, and we'll actually start marking those spots off so that it's organized. You know, you guys came out, you know, that first game, and we had quite a few things going on there, but we hope to keep building week in and week out. And as we look down the road, instead of just, you know, 15 people saying, hey, we're coming over, we'll just grab a spot, we need to get it organized. We need to make sure that it is going to run successfully.
Right.
And as support increases, we need to make sure that it is going to be fun for the fans, and that's what we're about. We've got the kids zone out there this year, and we'll have that each game as long as it's not raining or we've got some bad weather, and hopefully, cross our fingers, this week it's looking like we might have a little rain coming in over the weekend at some point. But
yeah.
Rain's fine. I'll take rain, just no lightning, you know, or anything like that. But you know, the kids zone, and then we've got the Lions Athletic Club set up there at the top of the hill. The alumni always has their tent over there. And then we've got a lot of groups that are really buying in, and as they have been all year, supporting the team, supporting the coaches. Now they're supporting us before the games also. And so we encourage anyone to come out. We've extended the hours this year. Before, it used to be just, you know, 2 to 3 hours ahead of time, where this year it's officially 5 hours ahead of time, but Cooper, you guys show up at 8 o'clock. I'm not going to kick you out.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's game day. Let's have some fun, and let's have a party out there. And our idea of tailgating is what we've seen in the past. Whether it's, you know, Ryan Ivey's experiences over at McNeese in Louisiana, let me tell you, they know how to tailgate.
Oh yeah,
and
for sure.
It's not, you know, it's not even just LSU. It's McNeese. It's Northwestern State, La Tech. I mean, all those places, they tend to have some fun in that state. But I've seen it also from my end. On the Nebraska side, you know, it's
okay.
Yes, that's a huge, huge monster. But we take that idea and say, how can we mold it to what we want to do? Mm-hmm. How can we have that much excitement pregame that people want to come? People may show up just for tailgate because it's that much fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully they're going to come into the game, but I understand, you know, if they can't or they don't want to, heck, you know, I just want everyone to be able to wake up on a Saturday morning and say, you know what, it's game day. We're going to go up there. We're going to have some fun. Whether you have a tent or you just bring some chairs and bring your grill from the deck, whatever you want to do, come out, you know, playing rings or washers, whatever you call them now, and we'll have some fun. So tailgating's getting there. Obviously, this week we're hoping to have quite a few. You know, we do have some RVs coming in. I know that homecoming weekend is always huge on so many different levels, but that's part of why we started looking at how to structure it, because we didn't want homecoming to come along and all of us sit there and say, well, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You know, no, this is how it's been. This is, you know, if you need a spot, here's your spot. It's got a, it's marked out. You guys show up, you know where to go. Everyone's good to go and have a lot of fun.
All right. Well, is this just a normal tailgate? It's free. You show up, you do whatever you want to, get some food that's usually also free, or is this maybe some money involved there?
No, it's free. Okay. Come in, set up how you want. You know, we've got the spots. We've got spots that are about like 40 by 40. I mean, we've got plenty of room right now.
Yeah.
You know, until we sell out, you know, then we'll start cutting them down. But, you know, it's free for everybody to come out. And like I said, whether you bring your tent or whether you just bring some lawn chairs, whether you bring your grill or however you want to do it, there are certain groups that'll come. Last week, you know, Guarantee Bond Bank was up there with the Lions Athletic Club and they were feeding everybody there. We've got a few players' parents that come up and they tend to feed the masses. I don't know if they mean to or not, but they end up being, you know, when you're serving good food, people seem to just follow the smell of it, I think, and end up being over there. But there's quite a few sponsors in town that are coming out and helping support that, and it's been great so far, but we're looking to even make it better.
Okay. Well, what else is going to be available at the tailgate? I know every once in a while there's a giveaway or something to keep people's attention. There's usually a band, like you talked about. Is there anything lined up like that?
Yeah, we'll be doing different things on the different games, obviously with our different themes. Mm-hmm. This week, not as much just because we're still trying to feel out. You know, it's a little experimental, especially with the Boat Arc Festival in town.
Yeah.
You know, we know that that's a festival that the community really takes part in, so a lot of people are going to be busy with that, and that's totally understandable. You know, that's something that supports the town, and we want to support the town as much as they want to support us. So we understand that it's a little touch and go this weekend, but next weekend is the Think Pink game. You know, and we'll have the Hunt Regional Medical Center out of Greenville. They'll be here with their mammogram bus, and that'll be set up. You know, people can come support breast cancer awareness and those sorts of things. We'll have a lot of pink stuff going on, and that sort of thing. Obviously, homecoming is the bear itself, you know, that last game. And then when the last game of the year is Military Appreciation Day, along with Senior Day, and the Texas Army National Guard sponsoring that, and they'll have some military vehicles up here, and we'll have different things going on that route. So it should be kind of cool to see.
Yeah, that'll definitely be interesting. Well, you said that someone can just show up with their tent or bring a grill, anything like that. What else? What do they have to do to get in contact with you to say, "Hey, I'm bringing a tent," stuff like that?
The best case scenario is that they call ahead of time, and you know, you could call us at the athletic department, 886-5558, and say, "Hey, I'm looking to tailgate this weekend. Can I get my name on a spot?" Mm-hmm. And what that'll do is we can say, "Yes, you're going to have spot 12. And we can, you know, email them a map or whatever, but they'll have their name on a spot so that they know it's reserved. Do they have to? No, they don't have to. If they want to just show up, there are open spots. Mm-hmm. As long as someone else's name isn't on that spot, you know, certainly use it for your own and have some fun. So, we don't want to regulate it to the point that it's difficult for people. We just want to make sure that it's successful.
Okay.
And that's why we're not trying to put a bunch of rules on it. We're not trying to just get crazy with it. We're just saying, let's organize it a little so that it's successful.
Okay. Jordan, any questions?
Well, tell me about the Lion Time.
Yeah, Lion Time is something that is, it's part of a brainchild between Ryan Ivey and myself, and even Sammy Marone was in on this too. Part of it is our feeling that we can get better. Mm-hmm. You know, we look down the list right now. Volleyball's 9-2, soccer's 4-1, football's 2-1, golf is playing really well. Cross country went out and won a tournament, a huge run out there.
Vanderbilt.
So there is success going on, but we can still be better. Until you're winning absolutely every game across the board, until every student has a 4.0, and until you know, every person is graduating and getting a job, we can be better. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we thought, how can we get better? Mm-hmm. One thing that's difficult in athletics is it's just a different animal. You know, you guys have seen that what applies over in the math department might not apply in athletics and mm-hmm. vice versa. And with the timing of it all, you know, I know that everyone puts in their time here, but those coaches are up there. They live and that's their lives. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, how can we format something to help everyone? And what we took LION as an acronym, and it's Leadership Information Opportunity Network. Mm-hmm. Leadership Information Opportunity Network. We want to put a premium on leadership. If all of our coaches are good leaders, then our student athletes will be able to pick up on that. If we have student athletes that are good leaders, mm-hmm. that's in the classroom, across campus, on the court, that sort of thing, then our teams will be a lot better. So leadership is kind of the focal point on that. And then Information Opportunity Network is, what can we provide our staff information-wise that will help them be better leaders and help them be better coaches? So each month after our staff meetings, what we do is we take just about an hour and we do some sort of thing that'll help them become better leaders. Okay. And it's not required. You know, our coaches, like I said, their schedules are crazy. If they can make it, they can make it. If not, it's nothing that we're going to hold against them by any means. But, you know, last week we did a competition. And obviously, anytime you put coaches in a competition, it's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
But they had it's called the Marshmallow Challenge. And it's not the thing where you pack your mouth full of marshmallows and stuff. Yeah. But you take a marshmallow and you take 20 pieces of spaghetti, like uncooked raw spaghetti, a yard of string, and a yard of tape. And they had to build the highest structure with the marshmallow on top.
Okay.
And, you know, some of them did this, and they talked to, you know, and they only had 20 minutes to do this. So they had to sit there and figure out their plan, and then they had to try to build it. And then, you know, most of them, and we had done some research on this, and it ended up being exactly how it happens across the nation anytime anybody tries this. They all sit there and they plan for 15 minutes. And then they hustle and they try to put their thing together. And then at the end, they put their marshmallow on the top and it falls over. So there's many ways to go about it. And it's hilarious watching this. But they all, you know, oh, what's so-and-so doing? What's so-and-so doing? And at the end, you know, each group went around and kind of explained what they were thinking and how they did it. But everyone was able to learn from each other. And we played a video that kind of pointed out the best way to do it.
Okay.
And how this study across the country has been done on these sorts of things. And, mm-hmm. you know, kindergartners usually actually score higher than graduated business students because they aren't told this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. Their mind is open. It's outside the box versus by the time we graduate college, it's, this is how you do this. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
And it actually narrows your mind down. And so we, you know, we do different things. We'll have several speakers come in. We'll have different books that we can read that help with leadership. You know, I'm sure you guys have seen, you know, everyone from John Wooden to Coach K to, you know, different coaches like that have some amazing books out there. So each month we'll kind of do a different format and have some fun with it and do different challenges. But essentially, it comes down to us getting better.
Okay.
For the most part, we're all pretty young. You know, when it comes down to it, we're not looking at the next couple years of retiring. So we can't just sit there and say, "Yeah, our teams are doing great. You know, we've sold more tickets than they have in the past. We're good enough." No, that's not what you're going to see, and that's not what we're going to hold ourselves to. And we just want to get better, and we want. You know, Ryan's done this from day one with going out to those town hall meetings, with doing our safari tour. We want people to feel that they can call us and say, "What are you guys doing about this? You know, maybe think about this." We're open for suggestions. Mm-hmm. We're not, you know, we're not going to say that we know everything. You know, we know that we can get better, and we hope that the community feels that they're open to giving us suggestions. And anytime, you know, you guys are around the program, you're on campus, you see different things. Hey, you got ideas? Let us know. You know, we're open for it.
Right.
Speaking about bettering ourselves, bettering ourselves and everything, I know we don't want to talk about it too much, but the football team went to West Texas A&M, and even though we lost, we still scored the most points against them in a couple of years, so that's itself is an improvement. Can you tell us what some good things that we could take away from this game? Because I know a lot of people didn't get a chance to see it.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those games where you were going to – the familiarity made it really difficult to know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Our coaches knew their coaches knew our coaches. When we lined up on offense, we figured that they were going to do this on defense. And if you saw the first play of the game, that familiarity – was there because we knew that if we lined up this way, there was a pretty good chance our defense was going to line up this way. Mm-hmm. So we went for the home run and we got it. Scored first play of the game. So it was one of those things that as the game went on, you know, as Coach Carthel said after the game, it's taken them 8 years to get to that point.
Yeah.
We've had 8 months to get to our point.
Yeah.
So we're not sitting too bad. You know, we're close. But talking with some of the players, they didn't feel that they were out of that game. Mm-hmm. They never sat there, and when they did get down, going in even at halftime down, they had in their mind, hey, boys, we can pull this out. And that's a different mindset than they've had in the past. Before, a lot of those guys, the seniors on the team, they felt that maybe once they got down, it was going to be really tough to get back out. So, but now the thinking, the aura of the team is really, hey, we can do this, you know. And that confidence came from those first two wins, you know. Those were huge.
Definitely.
And, you know, last week was a hard, tough game.
Yeah.
You know, sticking with them says something about our team. Scoring that many points says something about our team.
It did.
And, you know, I'm not a big fan of the moral victory thing. It's either in the win column or the loss column. Yeah. But I think that the coaches were able to take that film and they'll get better. You know, our players were able to take that and watch that and say, oh, this is the level we need to be at.
Right.
And this week will really show where we're at, I think. Last week, obviously, it gave us an idea. But this week, Midwestern is a ranked team. They're not a top 10 team right now. But we might be able to really show, hey, we should be getting some votes. Mm-hmm. We might be in that top 25.
Yeah.
And right now, we're not getting those votes. And I understand. I mean, there's no history to prove what we've done. Yeah. But if we can pull out this win this weekend, I really think that'll turn some heads and people will really start paying attention.
Right. And, I mean, after this game, there's not any game that really sticks out as, oh, I don't know if we can win this game.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, obviously our conference is tough across the board.
Of course.
You know, going down to Kingsville is always tough. Mm-hmm. Tarleton, they can play you in different ways. There's just several different teams out there that we don't feel that their heads above us now. Mm-hmm. We can compete. And if we can compete, we've got a chance to win. There it comes down to maybe a lucky fumble from the other team. Maybe it comes down to a pick six that our defense pulls out or something like that, where if we can pull those plays out, then we should be able to win it. And I think as the season goes along, you'll see that our guys, you know, if they don't beat ourselves, we'll be right in every game.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure.
All right, well, what are some areas of concern, though, heading into Midwestern State? Is there anything that really sticks out from the loss?
You know, I think for the most part we came out pretty healthy.
Okay.
You know, that's always one thing to worry about. Obviously, you know, there's some special teams. We could always do better on special teams. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach has mentioned, hey, as we said, it was we're in our eighth month of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that they didn't focus on special teams, but they focused on offense. They focused on defense. They focused on recruiting. They focused on getting these kids here, yeah, signed, in pads, ready to play. Did they spend as much time on maybe special teams as needed? Maybe not.
Okay.
But those are just areas that, you know, you guys, it's hard to get everything nailed down that first time. And
for sure.
And as the season goes along, as long as those guys are willing to learn and willing to get better, I think every facet of the game will get better.
Okay.
But I think they'll probably focus on a little more special teams this week. And, you know, our defense had some tough breaks last week, whether it was a turnover here, turnover there, or a third down penalty. You know, there was a couple penalties in there that really hurt us last week. So if we can cut those penalties down, you get them in third down situation, and then an offside, lined up offsides penalty gives them an automatic first down. That hurts you.
Right.
You know, so I think they shore up some of the problems there, play a little more disciplined ball, and then maybe help out on special teams, and we're not sitting too bad.
Yeah, yeah. And then just one more question about this last game. If anyone was listening to the play-by-play, I know we actually got some complaints about how many times we said, oh, there's another penalty flag, or there's some more laundry on the field, and that was a criticism of our play-by-play team. So was that – I know a lot of people couldn't see it because the live stream fluctuated back and forth and they couldn't drive to Canyon. Was that more the refs calling too many penalties, or was that actually the
teams?
Know,
part of it's obviously – well, I say part of it's on the team. Obviously, it's on the team. You can't okay. make some of those offsides. Those dead ball penalties are just – they're not needed. Mm. But I was I don't know if you'd say fortunate enough, but I was able to watch some college football this weekend, and man, there was penalties across the nation every yeah. other play. And I don't know if a referendum came down on the referees and said, "Hey, you need to buckle down and get some of this under control." It seemed a little excessive to me, but I wasn't there either. I wasn't able to make it, and you know, I watched the stream, and I you know, I was listening to the game. It's just one of those things. But when it comes down to it, a lot of those mistakes we could have helped ourselves. And so you don't want to blame the refs. They're doing their game, you know.
Yeah.
Whether they're calling it tight or whether they're calling it loose, either way, you've sometimes got to adjust. And if you know, in baseball, we've always looked at it, if the strike zone is squeezed, you've got to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those things that I'm not going to sit there and criticize refs. They're doing their gig and stuff. But it just seemed across the nation that there was a ton of penalties this week.
Yeah, you could even see it in the NFL. I know
there was
30-something penalties for the Texans game against the Baltimore Ravens.
It was like 50 against the Pittsburgh Steelers and Bears.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think referees got that power in their pocket and just throw it. And I'd be like, wow.
Part of it's the Steelers. I mean, if you don't, God. You know, the refs might just not like the Steelers.
Yeah, you never know. They could be Cowboys fans or something.
It might be.
Who would like the Steelers? I mean,
apparently this guy.
At least one Boston team is doing good. Shout out to the Red Sox. They won 90 games this year after losing 90 last year.
Hey, the Patriots are doing good.
I don't know. No. I don't like the Patriots. They're our rivals.
Okay. Well, I think that's about going to do it for us in this first segment. We'll come back and talk DeMarcus Ware taking over the career sack record for Harvey Martin for the Cowboys.
That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, definitely. And finish off the show with you know, the big KATR Locker Room picks of the week. But this is KATR's Locker Room. We will be right back.
Do you want to hear the sounds of your favorite Texas artists? There's only one guy who can tickle your fancy, Mr. Matt Meeky. He's so ready for you to turn him on.
Don't turn me off. Turn me on.
So if you don't have anything on, turn Matt on. He'll be all over it like a kilt on an Irishman.
Kilts are unbelievably comfortable to wear.
Weekdays from noon to 3, 88.9 KETR.
So the weekend is fast approaching, and you're frantically calling friends about where everyone should meet.
How about where they have that trivia contest?
And you win free Jell-O shots? I so ace those.
You have to decide how you'll get there, and importantly, how not to wind up in jail.
Jail?
What you need is a weekend pass. Person appointed to stay sober. A friend you can call or a friend who's with you but not drinking.
Debbie said she'd be my weekend pass.
Her boyfriend said he'd be mine.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're drinking and driving, you will go to jail. This emphatic reminder from your Texas Department of Transportation.
Many listeners of KETR are homeowners who take advantage of lawn and garden, housekeeping, maintenance, and other home-related services. Our listeners could be your customers. Introduce your company to them through program underwriting on your station. For more information, contact Sherry at 903-513-9684.
All right, we are back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch and Jordan Davis, thank you again to Josh for joining us today on the program to talk about all stuff Lions. But now we got to get a little bit more serious and talk the Cowboys, Jordan. First, DeMarcus Ware took over the career sack record for the Dallas Cowboys this Sunday, beating out all-time great and former A&M Commerce Lion, Harvey Martin. Now, he's had the official sack record for a while. Harvey Martin had the unofficial record because he because sacks weren't tracked back in the day. They weren't an official stat.
Now
he has the overall record, even over that unofficial record that Harvey Martin set. So the question is DeMarcus Ware one of the best Cowboys ever?
Yes. Okay. DeMarcus Ware is going to be in a ring of honor for the Cowboys. You think about it, over the past, what, 9, 10 years maybe, DeMarcus Ware has been, like, their best defensive player, like,
easily.
Every year. Yeah. Now, you can make an argument that Sean Lee is one of their best ones, but DeMarcus Ware has been healthy. He's been playing linebacker. Now he's playing defensive end. He done did everything for the Cowboys. Yeah. He is, like, one of the greatest Cowboys because I just can't picture him leaving the Cowboys. Like, the Cowboys just put too much money in him. Mm-hmm. Since a rookie, he's been producing, and every year he seems to get better for a Cowboys defense that always, like, folds at the end of the season. So, I mean, to have one person you know you can depend on, that's a huge, huge thing for a team.
Right.
And I really think he's one of the best defensive players for the Cowboys ever.
Like, I agree.
Whenever you break a sack record for a team, you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
So he hadn't been doing something right to get all those sacks.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think he is.
Well, he's probably got, what, 4 or 5 years left on his career?
I'll give him about 4 or 5 years. Might be six.
Okay. Well, if, and this is a sad if, but if the Cowboys don't win a Super Bowl within those 6 years, would you say he's the best Cowboy to never win a Super Bowl?
You got to think about all the Cowboys that played. But if to me personally, yeah, if they don't win a Super Bowl, he has to be the best Cowboy to never win a Super Bowl because he has most of their stats. Like, he has most of their defensive stats. And, I mean, one player can't win a championship, but you can't put the blame on him. Because if they don't win a Super Bowl, DeMarcus Ware is not going to be blamed because he did his job.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really do think it's like you go in basketball, like Tracy McGrady. You know, he was a great player, never won a ring.
Never got past the first round until this year.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's a lot of players that, you know, they're good. They just don't ever get a chance to play. And it'd be sad if DeMarcus Ware never got to play in a Super Bowl because he deserved to be in the Super
Bowl.
For sure. And I think he's still going to be one of the best Cowboys and best defensive players ever because, I mean – at his position at linebacker, you got to think about it. Linebacker is not an easy position in the NFL.
Yeah.
And to get sacks through them big offensive linemen, it takes a lot of skill.
Yeah.
And to get multiple sacks a game is an accomplishment in itself. Mm-hmm. Some people don't even get 3 sacks a season. He get that in like 2 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll feel bad for him if he don't ever get to a Super Bowl. But, I mean, nothing taken away from him. He'll still be honored.
Right.
Still be honored.
Well, let's talk about his chances to get into the Hall of Fame. I know that linebacker is actually one of the hardest positions to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, they're talking about former Patriot great, what's his name?
Teddy Bruschi?
Yeah, Teddy Bruschi, how he may not even get in because it's so difficult as a linebacker.
Hard. It's hard, but I think DeMarcus Ware will get in. Simply because you got to think about it. Teddy Bruschi, he's more of a team player. Like, he made some plays for him, but he didn't break any records.
Right.
He won 3 rings. I mean, yeah, you know, NFL is easier to win a ring than an NBA because it's more team-oriented. You know, other people can step up to help you get a ring.
Right.
But in DeMarcus Ware case, I feel like he'll be a Hall of Famer simply because he's been the only player on that defense for all these years producing.
Consistently. Like,
they've been rotating people on that defense for years, and he's still been there at his same position.
Yeah.
Doing whatever he can to help that team. And I believe that's what makes a Hall of Famer. A Hall of Famer to me is somebody that through all the years, winning or losing, if you can still put up numbers and make Pro Bowls every year, I mean, they can't take that away from you. Like,
yeah.
You had to be good enough to make, what, 7, 8 Pro Bowls already? I mean, come on now. Linebacker, nobody done that since Ray Lewis. And Ray Lewis is definitely going to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So why not DeMarcus Ware? I mean, that's how I feel about it. I think he's going to be in it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Well, what about the Cowboys more in general? They are 2-1 now, thanks to the running game. We didn't get to talk about much last week because it didn't exist.
Exactly.
Do you think the Cowboys will stick with the run or do what they always do every season after they win a game with the run and immediately go back to the pass?
Well, I think the Cowboys need to play the Rams every Sunday.
Yeah.
Because every time they play the Rams, DeMarco Murray have over 150 yards rushing.
Yeah,
I don't know
what
it is.
That's the only team that he has.
Only team. I don't know if it's their personnel, they just know it, or they just have their number. But honestly, the Cowboys have a running game. They just don't use it.
Yeah.
Like, they always had the ability to run the ball, but they always put the ball in Romo hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer of a quarterback has to have a running game to be successful. Like, you just can't throw the ball 50 times and expect him to be Peyton Manning and just lead them to victory every time. I mean,
yeah,
you pay money for them big running backs, and you got 2 big tight ends. You took away a fullback. If you can run against the Rams, that's still an NFL team.
Mm-hmm.
Why not keep running it? Now, I just don't understand it, but I don't think the Cowboys are going to go away from it.
Okay.
I think they found something that works. And whenever they have a good running game start, it makes the game easier for Romo.
Definitely.
So I think that the Coach Garrett, is really trying to make the game easier for Romo so you won't see Romo throw interceptions late in the game or do something that we'd be like, oh, that's typical Romo. So I feel like they're going to try to establish the run more. But if it's apparently not St. Louis, I feel like they're going to throw it more. So.
Yeah.
I hope they don't run away from it. It'll be dumb if they do, but it ain't no telling what the Cowboys are going to do. It's no telling.
Yeah.
It's no telling.
You can never predict what's going on in Jason Garrett's mind.
Never, or Jerry Jones' mind.
No.
You can't. That's the one team that nobody can ever just say, I know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Cowboys surprise themselves every week.
Yeah, they really do. They really do.
I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about other teams in the NFL, like some surprise winless teams.
Yeah.
Your Steelers.
Wow.
Let's see who else.
The Vikings.
The Redskins.
Like, a lot of teams. And then there's some surprising 3-0 teams. The Dolphins. Like,
good prediction there.
I told you Tannehill.
Yeah.
I wish I could see everybody's face that told me that I was wrong. I told people Tannehill was going to have a better year.
Yeah.
They 3-0. So far, I'm 3-0 with Tannehill.
Yeah, and Tannehill's the reason because their running game is crap.
No, they have, God, their running game is just as invisible as the Steelers.
Yeah.
And the reason why we don't have a running game is because one of our linemen wants to hit another lineman in the knee and tear his ACL. And he hasn't been playing right since. Like, the Chicago game, he was scared. Like, I saw it in his eyes. He did not want to play football. And I'm just sitting there like, how do you play for the Steelers and you look scared? Like, don't do that. I understand you hurt the teammate and that hurts you, but you still have a job to do. And Big Ben is not the youngest quarterback in the league, and he's taking way too many hits. And at least we get our rookie back. We get Le'Veon Bell back from Michigan State, and I believe that's going to help us because that's a big – he's a Jerome Bettis II, except he's faster.
Yeah.
He don't have asthma. So I feel like when he comes back, we'll be good. But our defense is still good. Like, our defense, our pass defense is good. Our run defense has always been good. It's just, golly, our offense is just horrible. It looked like the Lions last year. That's what it looks like. So, I mean, but other than that, I'm surprised at, like, Minnesota being 0-3.
Yeah.
I always said that Christian Ponder, I just don't believe in Christian Ponder.
I don't either.
I don't see why they drafted him so high. He didn't do nothing at Florida State to me that just made me be like, okay, he's going to be a good quarterback.
And then, I mean, it's the same with the most recent Florida State quarterback, E.J. Manuel. I mean, he We saw him not do that great for Buffalo against the Jets.
And that was the Jets against Geno, another rookie quarterback that's, I mean, a lot of people saying he's doing better than expected, but I just don't know. The Jets, I don't understand their offense. Like, they have a very difficult offense. I think it's difficult for them to understand it. Yeah. Sometimes they run it, then other times they just throw short, pointless routes. I just don't – I don't watch the Jets. I just feel like that's a waste of DirecTV and a waste of my time. I don't want to offend nobody, but if there's Jets fans, you know what I'm talking about. You know. You understand my pain. It's just – it's difficult to watch the Jets. I just can't – especially when they had Sanchez. I can't never just sit down and watch the Jets. It's just – it's painful.
Butt fumbles were everywhere.
Yeah, it was everywhere. I don't know. Honestly, I think it's time, like I told my roommate, the sorry teams that's been losing all these years, they're tired of losing. They're getting the right players, they're getting the right coaches, and they're winning. And the teams that's been winning for so long, their players starting out to leave, or they're starting to retire, or they just want to change the scenery. You see Baltimore, Ed Reed left, Ray Lewis left, that's a whole different team. Mm-hmm. What happened to your Texans? What, 30-9?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I looked at that score. I said, no, that has to be a typo.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you exactly why it happened, but I don't think anybody cares that much about the Texans on here.
I was shocked at that. I was shocked at the Browns winning. Yeah. I was shocked at the Colts beating the 49ers the way they did. Mm. That was very surprising.
I don't think the 49ers are going to be that good this year.
I think because people are finally understanding how to deal with Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Like, after the first year he had, it was successful. Like, even Robert Griffin. Mm-hmm. These rookie quarterbacks came in, didn't nobody expect nothing out of them. They expect them to be like regular rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
When they won, the people boosted them. Like, you hear analysts always talking about how good he is, how great he is. And now defenses are like, he's not that good.
Yeah.
We're going to show you why he's not that good. And it, like, Robert Griffin case, they are blitzing that man.
Yeah.
Like, he has – oh, my God. And the three games they have played, Robert Griffin has been getting killed.
Yeah.
Teams are hitting him.
Yeah. Although he's – it's not really fair because Shanahan said that he couldn't run. He had to stay in the pocket. And he's not a pocket –
he's not a pocket quarterback. If you want a pocket quarterback, put in Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Don't put Robert in the situation where he has to be something that he's not. And he has passed over 300 yards in each game, but it's not the same Robert Griffin.
No.
You used to have seen Robert Griffin with 200 and some passing yards and like another 80-something rushing yards.
Yeah.
Now you're seeing it where even Cam Newton don't even run that much. Like, you can't make a scrambler into a pocket quarterback. You just can't because it's not in their element. They have instincts that, okay, I have to run. And that's what Kaepernick is struggling with. He hasn't been running the ball like he used to. He's trying to be a pocket quarterback.
Yeah.
You're not a pocket. You're not an Aaron Rodgers. You're not a Tom Brady.
You're a Michael Vick.
You're a Michael Vick. And you see, Michael Vick is still successful because he do what Michael Vick is good at. He runs. Mm-hmm. Now, he may not slide like Eagle fans want him to, but he runs. And that's why he's still successful. But you take somebody like Robert Griffin, I always feel like if he's not healthy enough, don't play him. You're only hurting his career. You're not hurting nobody else. If he can't run like he used to, have him sit out some more. I know it. The fans don't want it. But as a coach and as a manager, you have to look out for what's best for your team.
Yeah,
and Kirk Cousins is a pretty good quarterback. He's good enough to lead you to where you need to go and then put Robert back in. But it's just, I feel like all these quarterbacks been getting all this praise and defenses are just tired of it. And it's like, no, he's not that good.
Yeah.
And what Kaepernick is showing. Like, it's Terrell Pryor is showing. Like, that game Monday was – God.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
It was.
And Peyton Manning is on fire. I don't know what has gotten into him. I guess he's tired of Eli having more rings than him.
Yeah.
But Peyton Manning, he only like 32 out of 37 or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's.
No interceptions, 12 touchdowns.
That's crazy. He has over 1,000 yards passing already.
Yeah, that's video game numbers.
That is video game. And I don't think people are paying attention to that. Like, he has beaten the Ravens. He's beaten good teams.
Yeah.
Except for Oakland, of course. But Oakland don't never count.
Yeah.
But Peyton Manning is, wow, like 7 touchdowns the first game and 5 the next. I mean, the Broncos look scary. They really look scary this year. They have everything, defense. They have special teams, and they don't even have Von Miller and Champ Bailey on defense, and they're still doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the NFL is like the NBA. It's becoming more competitive.
And
for the first time, the NFL is actually more appealing than college football.
Wow. Okay.
Because we're about to talk about it. College football has, I don't know what's going on. 76-0, 77. Like, seven, how, who, yeah. Why?
Last week, I mean, it was like schedule the worst opponent you can and then.
Cupcake City.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
it was because it got to the point where I was like, I was watching movies on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't never watch a movie on Saturday, but Oregon 70-7, Fresno State 50-something-9. I'm like, why do these teams play these teams? If you know you're gonna get your butt kicked like that, I understand the money's there, but
yeah.
there is no money amount that's gonna make me go into Oregon and be like, okay, we're gonna win this game. And I know we're not.
Yeah,
like they had 55 points in the first half.
Yeah,
55-0.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous as a coach. And then they even said it's a controversy because the team that played Miami or somebody, Savannah State, they said that their coach told the referees to keep the clock running. It was that bad. They was getting beat like 60-something to nothing like in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And he was like, just keep the clock running. And, I mean, that is bad. When your coach has to tell them, don't stop the clock for nothing. Just keep it running like I'm just ready to go home.
Yeah.
We're about to talk about it.
Let's get into it. We're not going to talk about that specifically.
No, we're
going
to talk about college football.
Yeah. But Mac Brown, I mean, he – last week we're all like, oh, he's done. Yeah. His tenure's over.
Yeah.
And then he beats Kansas State.
A good Kansas State team.
Which, yeah, I don't think anybody was expecting that.
Nobody.
Do you think if the Longhorns turn it around and even get maybe 6 wins this year, do you think he stays or do you think he's gone? No matter what.
I think the Longhorns, they already lost 2 games, correct?
Yeah.
I think to keep his job, he got to win all these rest of these games.
Okay, so beat Oklahoma, Oklahoma State.
If he beat Oklahoma, he's going to stay.
Okay.
Because for the past 3 years, Oklahoma has been beating him.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Not yeah. just beating. Like, I'm talking about whooping.
Yeah.
So if he can beat Oklahoma this year, he'll keep his job simply because they beat Oklahoma. If Texas have a bad season, as long as they say we beat Oklahoma, they don't care. Because yeah. they hate Oklahoma, and
they
Oklahoma
do.
Hate them.
Mm-hmm.
So for the past 3 years, Mac Brown has been owned by the Sooners. So if he can beat the Sooners, I believe he'll keep his job. But, I mean, the rumors about Nick Saban coming to Texas, I mean, you got to think about it. Texas is one of the most appealing schools to go coach at.
Yeah.
So if you see somebody struggling, other coaches are going to be interested in that job.
Definitely.
And there's some pretty good coaches out there other than Nick Saban.
Yeah.
So I think Mac Brown, his tenure is up. Like, he had a good run. He won some championships. He had some good teams. He had some great teams.
Mm-hmm.
The last team that was great was the Vince Young team. I mean, he had a great legacy, but, you know, everything must come to an end. And, I mean, nothing against Mac Brown, but he's been at Texas for a long time.
He really has.
And his contract is until 2020. He's not going to last till 2020.
Yeah.
Like, I think the school will pay his respects to him. He did everything he can for that school, but – like every other school in the country, it's time for a change. Like, sometimes you need to get younger.
Yeah.
You need to go another route because, I mean, people get old.
Yep.
And schemes get old. Like,
mm-hmm.
Texas has been running the same scheme for about a good 10, 12 years. And people are starting to know the scheme.
Yeah.
And when you got people that know your scheme and you got athletes that's not the caliber athletes that you used to have, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
And I did not think Ole Miss was going to beat Texas.
I didn't either.
I really was surprised at that. I thought Ole Miss would lose to Texas. But
yeah, and that BYU beat Texas.
They had 550 rushing yards on the Longhorns.
Yeah.
That let me know right there it was the end of his reign because he has never, you have never heard of nobody rushing for that many yards against Texas, let alone in football, period.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that rushed for 500 yards, that means they didn't pass.
Yeah.
They didn't have to pass. They receivers and running backs all blocked you the whole game, and you watched them score.
Yeah.
You watched them get first down. I watched that game. I
yeah.
laughed. That was the most embarrassing game I have ever seen any college team play. Commerce has not even given up 550 yards rushing. And that's a Texas?
Yeah, yeah.
Against BYU. BYU is a good team, but they're not 550 yards rushing.
No, I mean, if Oregon had come to town,
that's more
maybe.
Understandable.
If Georgia Tech came to town and they.
That's more understandable.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
BYU?
No.
Nobody expects BYU to rush for 500 yards.
No.
Not even Texas. They went in that game like, they're not finna rush.
Not
the
even
ball.
BYU.
No. And
BYU wasn't like, oh, we're going to do this. No way.
They didn't come in there like, we're going to run it down your throat. They came in there, we just trying to win.
Yeah.
And then they ran for 550 yards. And then the defensive coordinator gets fired. That's always a step that you know, okay, they finna make a total change. Yeah. Right after that game, they fired the defensive coordinator. And that's like, okay, they're rebuilding now because they're tired of it. And, I mean, the one positive I can get out of Texas is their running back, Jonathan Gray.
He's good.
He's finally coming into that number one recruit. So that's good for them, but he might not stay there long. He might go to the NFL.
Yeah.
So
you good?
Texas football, I don't know how the students of University of Texas are feeling. Because at this point, A&M is better than them.
Oh, easily.
Easily. If A&M played Texas now, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
it'd be a slaughter.
And when the last time you heard that? That's crazy. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, Ole Miss, Alabama, two SEC schools, but I still think Alabama's going to win that.
Easily.
Easily.
I think it's going to be not even contest.
Not even no contest.
What about California facing number two, Oregon?
California has a horrible defense.
They're 1-2.
1-2. Oregon has scored almost 100 points every game.
Yeah.
It's Oregon. And then at home, Oregon.
What about Clemson hosting Wake Forest?
Now, this game, I feel like, could be an upset.
Okay, because they almost lost to NC State.
They almost lost to NC State. And then Wake Forest at home. Wake Forest are one of those teams that you don't predict them to win, but they win somehow, some way, sometimes.
Right.
Like, they beat teams they're supposed to beat. So, with that one, I'm going to still pick Clemson, but it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be no blowout like people think. I think it's going to be close.
What about number four Ohio State hosting Wisconsin at the Horseshoe?
Wisconsin got, you know, they kind
of robbed.
Yeah, they got robbed against Arizona State. They would be 3-0 right now.
Yeah.
I still think Ohio State offense is just too good for the Wisconsin Badgers. It's going to be close, but I think Ohio State win by like 10.
Okay.
I got them going. Winning.
I'm going to go ahead and say that as well. I think it's not going to be very...
It's not going to be entertaining to me.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of defensive battles.
Yeah, but I think... Oh, and if Braxton Miller comes back, Ohio State's winning.
Yeah.
They're off top. They're winning.
Yeah.
And then they're at home, and Ohio State rarely loses at home.
Yeah.
So I got them winning.
What about Washington State traveling to number five Stanford? Now, Washington State is significantly better than they have been in a while.
A lot better.
But... I mean, it's number five Stanford.
They beat USC, and USC is not USC of past.
Yeah.
But Stanford is just too good. I got Stanford. I actually got Oregon and Stanford going to the Pac-12 championship. Okay. And the only reason why I put Stanford in there because I don't believe in UCLA yet. UCLA is pretty good, but they struggle with Nebraska. Even though they won.
Nebraska's not very good.
Yeah, so I think Oregon's still going to win the Pac-12, but Stanford is just – They look too solid. They just look too solid.
I agree. What about my pick for the game of the week, LSU traveling to number nine Georgia?
This is game of the week. Who do you got, Cooper?
You know, this is a tough call because Georgia lost to Clemson, and they almost lost
to North Texas.
Well, I mean, you knew who was going to win that game.
Yeah, but.
But North Texas made it a lot more competitive than I expected.
Everybody expected.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean. That's having two Sulphur Springs high school players on your team. Whoop!
Yep.
that's what getting them on your team does for you. Is you start playing against us?
Cooper I'm just kidding. Putting Sulphur Springs.
No, but seriously, I mean we saw three Sulphur Springs players play each other in the West Texas A&M game.
Hey, Sulphur Springs produced pretty good players.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah. But let's not chase that rabbit. But Georgia, I mean. They struggled against teams they shouldn't have, and LSU whooped up on Auburn this week.
They did.
So, I don't know.
I think if
what's his name, the quarterback, Hermenberger or Hottenberger?
Mittenberger. Yeah.
If he can still play the way he has been, I think they win. But I want Georgia to win. I like their coach. Mark Richt is a great guy. He like adopted a whole bunch of kids that have special needs and things like that. He's a good guy. He's a good person, and I don't think Georgia's ever lived up to the expectations that they've had with him as the coach.
Never. I think, oh God, it's going to come to the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a close game to the fourth quarter, and I feel like a play in the fourth quarter is going to change. And I don't know why, but I think Les Miles is going to get a victory. He always finds a way to get a victory on the road.
Yeah.
And I mean, their offense, LSU's problem has always been their offense. Their offense looked pretty good this year. Mm-hmm. And they running back, they always have those running backs. And you know they're going to run the ball despite who you are, who you have on your defense. LSU is going to run the ball, and so is Georgia. But, you know, one of their running backs banged up. He has, like, a leg injury or a groin. I'm not sure. But he's not been running like he ran in that first game.
Yeah.
I just think LSU just, they coming in here with no worries. Georgia already lost one game.
Yeah.
They have to win every game, at least try to make it to the championship. LSU hasn't lost a game yet.
Yeah.
Beating a team like Auburn, that's their rival, it's like, okay, we beat one team from Georgia. Why can't we beat the other team from Georgia? So I just think that.
Well, Auburn's in.
Oh, it's South Carolina.
No, it's
in
Alabama.
Oh, yeah, Alabama. My bad. Well,
yeah. Georgia Tech's the other Georgia team.
Yeah. Oh, God. Wow. Yeah. Well, I think LSU can pull it off. Right. I really think they can. I just think Georgia just struggling with UNT.
Yeah.
That's UNT. I'm proud for the state of Texas, but that's still UNT.
Yeah, it's still UNT.
When it was tied 21-21, my mouth was like open, like, are you serious?
Yeah.
They're tied in Athens against the Bulldogs, and they're playing LSU next week. Nah.
Yeah, I don't have a good feeling about this one. What about another one that could really be big? Arkansas is hosting A&M. Now, Johnny Manziel came out and whooped up on SMU, didn't even come close, but I don't know. I think Arkansas could take him pretty hard.
It's going to be competitive.
Yeah.
Because Arkansas at home is always a hard outing. Like, you're not just going to beat Arkansas at home.
And this isn't the Arkansas of last year.
No.
That sucked.
It's a different Arkansas team. Yeah. They have a running back that's like, really running. Mm-hmm. And they have their starting quarterback got hurt. So, the last game I saw when they played against Rutgers, they should have won against Rutgers. They should be 4-0 right now. But, you know, things happen. But I still think A&M is going to pull it out. I think A&M still has too much firepower. And, I mean, Manziel, despite his gestures, he's putting up good numbers, like Heisman-like numbers again.
Yeah.
So I just feel like A&M is going to take it. But it's not going to be no blowout like it's been. It's going to be a close game. I think they'll win by 10.
Okay. I think that's a fair prediction. And then the last game that we're going to talk about, Oklahoma – is hosting Notre Dame is hosting Oklahoma. Who you got in that one? That's two teams that aren't, I think, as good as most people expect them to be.
Yeah.
But
their ranking shows. I mean, Notre Dame, just they haven't been the same since their quarterback got suspended.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen Oklahoma play this year. I know they played Tulsa. They beat Tulsa pretty bad.
Yeah, but
that's Tulsa. Yeah. I mean, you really can't predict teams early in the season because they play so many cupcake teams. You won't know until they actually play good teams. But Notre Dame at home, somehow, some way, the Fighting Irish always win at home. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to lose last year so many times, and they kept winning at home.
Yeah.
They're like the Seattle Seahawks of college football. I just got the Notre Dame. I got Notre Dame winning Oklahoma, and I think it's going to be by like 3.
All right. You know, I think that's a fair prediction, but I'm going to go Oklahoma.
Wow.
And I'm going to say they win by a safety.
A safety?
Yeah, it's going to be a random score.
You know what? That's predictable of a Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
A safety will probably win the game for them.
Go put it on the big prediction board.
Put it on the big prediction board.
That Oklahoma wins by 2 points, whether it's a safety or whatever.
That game comes on at 2:30.
Yeah.
On NBC.
Be watching that game.
Please be. Cooper said they're going to be a safety.
Yeah.
I have yet to see a safety in college football.
Yeah, I don't think it's happened yet.
Well, I don't think it has.
Somebody can correct us if they want to.
You know somebody will.
Yeah.
Anyway,
be sure to tune in on the Friday edition. We're going to preview the Lions game against Midwestern State and talk some more high school football. We'll probably know what game that KETR is going to broadcast this Friday.
Hope it's the Greenville game.
Yeah, I do too. That's going to be a good game. It's
somebody got to win.
0-4 Greenville versus 0-3 Royce City. We're hoping we can get that game and bring that to you guys. But Greenville Station is already broadcasting that, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, this is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch.
And I'm Jordan Davis.
And we'll see you on Friday.